Urbana, good afternoon. You know what? I'm quite shocked and surprised right now because when I came in here, I told the seminar assistants, you know what? Don't worry about giving me a mic because I'm probably going to ask everybody to move to the front. I only expected about 10 people to show up. So I am really shocked and surprised and thrilled and happy to have you in this seminar. And I was thinking, great, they put me at 4 o'clock on the 31st when everybody has no energy and is super tired, and what kind of seminar is going to be? But I'm thrilled to have you here. And as people were walking in, I was just getting energized at more and more people coming in. And so yeah, like I said, thrilled to have you here and hope you've had a good time at Urbana so far. So the seminar today is on leading effective short-term missions. My name is Navin Singh. I come from Toronto, Canada. Work for InterVarsity. Work for InterVarsity Christian Fellowship in Canada, and I direct the missions department. Do I need a mic? I need a mic. I got one right here. Okay, that's better, I think. Before I start, I wanted to let you know a bit about myself. I was born in Guyana, and I lived there for about a year, but then my parents emigrated to Canada. Had a great childhood growing up. When I was 16, I had an existential crisis in my life. Don't come from a religious family, didn't have any religious background, but something happened to me when I was 16 where I felt I wanted to know something more about life. I felt I wanted to know what happens after I die, why are we here on earth? What's our purpose in life? And one of the things that really kind of caused this questioning in me was stargazing. I would climb out on my roof, my bedroom window opens up to a roof that I could go at, and I would sit out and just lie for hours at night looking at the stars and just thinking. And I remember putting my hand up against the stars and going, who is this? Who am I? Why am I here? What happens after I die? And I remember having all these questions about life. I didn't have any answers to them. So went to high school, met a friend who was a Christian. We were on the volleyball team together. We were in science class, math class together, and had a great friendship. He invited me out to a church youth group event. And that, I wanted to go, but it really freaked me out because I'd never gone to anything in church. And for me, church was a totally foreign thing. One of the misconceptions I had, one of the things I thought was that people in church, all they do is study the Bible. And for me, and I thought, wow, to go to this church event, I'm going to have to take a Bible quiz because that's what Christians do. They take Bible quizzes. And if I didn't pass this Bible quiz, they wouldn't let me come to this event. And I thought, a lot of my friends from high school are going to be there. I didn't want to fail this Bible quiz event. So I pulled out this children's Bible that I had on my shelf and read it cover to cover. And strangely, God really spoke to me through that. And it showed the story of the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And and it really opened up my heart to God. Went to this event and talked to my friend about my questions. And he told me what gave him hope, what gave him meaning in life. And that really spoke to me. And that night accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. So since then, I went to McMaster University in Hamilton, did a degree in biology. After that, did a degree in theology, and then started working for InterVarsity. I've been working for InterVarsity for 12 years, 7 years as a campus minister, and then the past 5 years as the missions director. Currently gone back to school and doing my MBA part-time. So that's a bit about myself. What I would love to know from you guys, I'd love to know what has been your Urbana highlight so far. I hope not to be up here and talk a whole lot. I like hearing from all of you, and I like seminars and things to be a bit more conversational. So I'd just like to take a couple minutes to find out what has been your Urbana highlight so far. This doesn't have anything to do with the seminar topic, but I just like hearing about your experience. We've just been through 4.5 days of incredible teaching, incredible experiences, and would just love to hear how God is speaking to you. We have a couple mics going out here, and I'm not shy to pick on people if there's a moment of silence. So feel free, volunteer. I'd love to hear how Urbana has been for you. Right back there. Or what's been your Urbana highlight?
Well, this is my first time coming to Urbana, and didn't really know what to expect. But yesterday I went to a seminar that was led by Don Everts about the postmodern path to faith. And that was very enlightening for me personally, and relationally, to be able to relate to my other friends, because he described the conversion process as not like a single event, but what people are finding out is it's more of a process of things that happen over time that lead up to trusting your life to Jesus Christ. And I always felt kind of guilty because I heard people talk about these like aha moments that where they were like, yes, I saw the light and I accepted Jesus, and that's not what my story is. And so I kind of always felt a little bit left out. But after hearing that seminar, I realized that my life has been a process, and I can relate to that. And then understanding that other people are on that process too helped me to see that I can relate to people in specific ways where they're at, rather than coming at them with like the entire gospel, the entire story of the Bible, and trying to cram that all into one like sitting that culminates in this one.
Cool. Yeah. Thanks. A few others. Your hand back there.
I just have to say, we have had a really awesome family group at our hotel. I know they're only supposed to be like 4 to 6 people or something, but we had 27 people in our hotel room.
Wow.
And it just has been like a really life-giving time. And I was just afraid with that many people, but that it wouldn't really be as in-depth. Uh-huh. But we just bonded like family, and we're from completely, our group is from Minnesota, and the other group that we're with is from Florida. And we have like gotten to know so much about each other, which has been really sweet. So.
Cool, thank you. There.
So, yeah, one of my friends from back home, he's a Christian, and he keeps telling me how like Jesus is going like he's on going down like I mean not that way, but okay. So like Christian, the level of Christians are diminishing and the quality of Christians are diminishing. But I was just really encouraging, I think it was last night or 2 nights ago, when we saw the conference in Kansas City, I think it was, and now they were praying for us and we prayed for them. And that's like 30,000 Christians that are serious about going out through the world and I'm preaching. So that was a big highlight for me, just seeing how Christianity isn't going down. Like, I don't know, it's just really encouraging to see the power of it.
This is my first Savannah. Sorry. This is my first Savannah. I'm from a small Christian church in Maryland, and a small Vietnamese Christian church. And I came to this Savannah, and the big highlight was the global connection, where you get a lot of information. Because from small churches like that out in the area, you don't get information what you can do. Like, you grow up in a small church and all you think is like, oh, it's going to be in the band, or it's going to be in like some kind of instrument play. And if you can't, then you're just going to be like an audience. You're just going to sit there, until the rest of your life. But until you went to a band, you got that global connection, but you can do a lot of things that fit you, short term, long term, all that kind of stuff that you can do for God.
Cool. Awesome. One more.
I'm Renee, and I'm from Fairbanks, Alaska.
Cool.
And probably one of the cool things that I've really been learning is how to be a non-judgmental community, and how, as Christians, that's really what we're called and to be. And just to see how we partake of that globally, but then also how we need to partake in that in our own communities with people that are not as different from us as we may think, or who are very different from us.
Cool. Great. Thank you. That's very helpful for me. I just really enjoy hearing the stories of what God is doing in your lives. I want to start getting into the topic of here. And again, I want to hear from you a little bit about, I want to hear about why you chose this seminar. And that'll help me, just think about how to shape this and shape our discussion. So you had tons of seminar choices this afternoon. Why did you choose this seminar? What do you want to get out of this seminar? And have you been on a short-term mission, or have you led a short-term mission before? And if so, where and what and all that kind of stuff. So let's continue. Yeah, back there.
So I've been on like 4 short-term missions, and I know personally it's been very good for me. But in terms of for the places that I've gone to, I don't feel like they've had much impact at all.
Okay.
Considering that we're spending maybe several thousand dollars per person.
Yeah.
And I've been on teams ranging from 5 to 15 people.
Yeah.
So in terms of everything we've been learning at Urbana, especially about, long-term incarnational sort of stuff, how does short-term missions fit into some of a strategy like that?
Huge. That's great. We'll be talking about some of that. Lots of hands. Oh, I'd like to hear a lot.
I currently sit on our missions board at church, and my role is mobilizing and equipping young generations, high school, college, young adults, which looks like short-term missions, but I chose this because, similarly, I just want to be able to see an effectiveness. I want to hear your opinion on, should it be something where we're continually sending those groups, high school groups, per se, to the same location to form those relationships? How do we make it most effective for the community that we're reaching to, but then also for, it's double-sided for our high school college groups as well.
Mm-hmm. Great. Awesome. Back over here.
I think I'm kind of repeating what she said, but I lead Patty, by the way, I'm from Maryland, and I coordinate our short-term mission project, and life change, we sell it like life change is happening
to
other teams, and it's not. It may happen for a really short amount of time, but we're not creating long-term missionaries, and so I'm here trying to figure out how do you actually make it a success, because it's not a success right now.
Awesome. Thank you. Where's the mic? Yeah, we're here.
I'm a youth pastor. I'm fairly new to youth pastor at this church, and the students haven't been on a mission, at least not a foreign mission, for over 20 years.
Okay.
And I really want to start to introduce the students to other cultures, get them to look outside themselves, get a taste of what missions is, and just a lot of the world issues, and just looking for better ways to lead them on the missions and also help them to get things out of the mission.
Yeah, okay, great. Fantastic. A few more, right over here.
Hi, my name is Sarah. I'm from upstate New York. And our IB has done a trip to Guyana, South America for the past 8 years. And we just want to know how to, we go to the same place every year, so it's cool because you get to build those relationships. But we just want to know how to kind of inspire the people in Guyana and inspire people on the team to become more of long-term missionaries as well.
Yeah, great. Fantastic. Where's the mic? Who has the mic? All right, over here. Yeah?
Hi. I'm Antoinette from Toronto. I've just currently changed my position at my church to community involvement and outreach, and it's local and global. And I've been on mission trips in the past that have been really powerful in my life, and I'm going to be leading short-term trips within a year or two, which for me is really, really soon. And I'm just, a lot of the concerns that were brought up, that's, I actually don't want to start on that foot. I want to start effective off the get-go. So
okay.
That's what I'm
doing. Great. Two more. Right over here.
I'm different than all of you because I'm on the field. I'm a missionary in Japan. I'm a short-term coordinator for the field. I am results of short-term missions for long-term. I came when I was 19. God called me to Japan. I've been there 28 years now. And I host short-term teams. And I am blessed to see people come to know the Lord every summer because of short-term teams. And if they weren't there, we wouldn't be reaching the Japanese as effectively. So for those of you that get a little discouraged, know that you have blessed people when you get there. And even if you see no one come to know Christ, just being there encourages the Christian that received you. Because many of them feel like they're alone in the world, and there's nobody there that cares. And then when you come in with a group of teenagers or whatever, you prove to them that God is reaching out to touch their hearts.
Great. Thank you.
So,
thanks. Last one over here.
I'm Hannah, and I'm from San Diego, and I've been on several mission trips, but I'm leading one to Ireland this summer through my college, and I don't want to just go and lead a team of college students to have a great experience, but to grow, but to be effective in the place that we're going and to make change and not just go for us for a change in the place, but for them too.
Great. Well, that was really helpful for me because I think we're going to cover a lot of the questions and comments that you brought up. So let's get started in some of the content of it. So I was thinking of, the topic is leading effective short-term missions. And I thought, well, what's the cost of an ineffective short-term mission? And you can imagine that, like I've led 8 short-term missions before to various parts around the world. As a leader, it takes a huge amount of my time in InterVarsity preparing for this. So recruiting, doing the applications, setting up all the field work. So it takes an enormous amount of my time. And so it's an ineffective short-term mission is a huge waste of time. It's a waste of time for team members too. Their time away, their time in preparation. One of the biggest issues is the cost of these short-term missions. And if the mission is not effective, I mean, really, it is, I think there's an estimate into the billions of dollars annually that are spent on short-term missions. And so if our short-term missions are ineffective, I mean, I just think it's deplorable the amount of money that is spent, amount of time that is spent wasted on ineffective short-term missions. False faith. I put that because I think that if a mission is ineffective, you can have a sense that I'm living out kingdom values, I'm doing something radical, life-changing, but if it's not effective for the long term, it can help lead to playing Christian, playing a follower of Jesus. And then, I mean, more recently, the environmental footprint that is caused by the amount of air travel that is involved in short-term missions. So what I want to do for our time here is focus primarily on a study that was done by Kurt Allen Verbeek, and he's a prof at Calvin College. And his study focused on the question, what extent do short-term missions bring about lasting positive change in participants? And for me, I think this is the ultimate question, right? This is, I think, why I do short-term missions with InterVarsity. I'd like to see long-term change in the people who go. And so this professor did a quantitative study on short-term missions. And in his research, he found that there were actually very few scientific studies on short-term missions. More have been done on research projects, PhD projects, but very little analysis on short-term missions and their effectiveness. He also found that only 2 of 44 short-term mission studies include data on those who receive on the, on the international end. How does it affect our partners overseas? Very, very, very few people are studying that effect. And so, I mean, that's a critical part of what makes a short-term mission effective. Is it effective in the lives of those who go? Is it effective in the lives of those who receive? And I think that is, that's kind of two sides of the coin we need to examine in terms of effective short-term missions. So his study focused on a short-term mission project that arose out of the context of Hurricane Mitch in 1998. So going back, this is kind of an overview of his study and the context of the short-term mission project. So this organization, the Christian International Development Organization, CIDO, raised over $2 million for this devastating hurricane that swept through Honduras. It really, really devastated the country. I think 5,000 people died in that, hundreds of thousands homeless, and it was a really terrible earthquake at the time. So what happened was CIDO raised $2 million for reconstruction projects in Honduras. And what they did was they had partners there that they worked with on a regular basis, and they funneled this $2 million to these partners that normally work in areas of agriculture and healthcare. So part of the program was that people who received money, organizations that received money to help rebuild their homes, the participants were required to pay back some of the loan and help in the reconstruction. So in this situation, like the slide says, it says 31 short-term mission teams helped in this project. The cost of each team was $30,000, and the cost to build a home was $2,000. So as we look at some of the results of this study, keep those figures in mind. Each team that went over there, it cost $30,000 to send them, $2,000 to build a home, reconstruct a home for those that lost their homes there. So again, the question, what extent do short-term missions bring about lasting change, lasting positive change in participants? So He reviewed 13 quantitative studies that used a different kind of measurement, a different kind of sociological and scientific measurement for this change. And what he found, I found quite startling in his report, only 11 of 13 found little or no significant positive impact in the lives of their participants. 11 of the 13 studies showed very little impact in the lives of the participants, very little long-term impact. And again, I found this quite disturbing when I think of the number of short-term missions that go out every summer and, you know, how much money is spent, how much time is spent on short-term missions when, in his study here, the overwhelming majority don't seem to be effective. So the results of this study, there are kind of four primary results here. So North American and Honduran teams had equal impact on the communities. So the houses that were built and the Hondurans that received them, whether their house was built by a Honduran team or a North American team, both had equal impacts on the community. So, you know, kind of begs the question, do we need to send North American teams over there? The ongoing work of the Honduran agency showed long-term benefit. And, you know, that kind of, we'll come back to that point later, but it's the quality of the long-term agency showed the impact on the Honduran community. Now, the third point here is interesting. Hondurans felt positive about the short-term mission teams, but they ultimately believed the money could have better used in building more homes. And then finally, short-term mission team members showed minimal to modest long-term change as a result of the trip. So one of the things that they did was measured through a questionnaire afterwards, how much did your prayer life change? How much did your giving change? How much involvement in agencies change? How much did your volunteering change? And he interviewed them about 2 years later, and very little had changed in their lives. Very little of their giving, very little of their prayer life, very little volunteering. Not much had changed in the short-term mission people that had gone, which again, I find a little disturbing. So he also looked at some other research papers on short-term missions. And it's interesting because the qualitative studies showed positive impacts. So when people wrote down what the impact was, they would say, my life was totally changed by it. I was so impacted by my experience. I was touched by the Honduran Christians and their welcome for us. So people would talk about the positive experience they had. They would talk about the travel experience, the newness of it. But when he measured it, when he tested what was before, what was your life like after, it actually showed very little change in some of those qualities. So he suggested two things. Either the questionnaire didn't really bring out the positive change, or the participants, their self-perception of the change was greater, their self-analysis was greater than the actual change that actually happened. So one of the things that I think is important is that short-term agencies often justify short-term missions because it calls long-term missionaries up. And so we say we need to be sending short-term mission trips because it produces long-term missionaries, and well, that's what we need. We need long-term missionaries. But what's happening, at least in the North American context, what I've seen in my own organization and in other organizations, is that the number of long-term missionaries is actually decreasing, even though the number of short-term missions over the past 20 years has exploded. And so the money raised for short-term missions, the number of people going on short-term missions has increased significantly over the past 20 years, but the number of long-term missionaries has actually remained stagnant. And so that raises some more questions about, do short-term missions actually produce long-term change? So one of the things, actually, so I'd like to stop it there for now and just get some responses. Some responses to some of his research, some of his thoughts. Any questions at this point? Start over here. Here, I'll use my mic. You can take it.
Could the decrease in long-term missionaries from North America be a result of the increase of people serving within their countries?
So people, short-term missionaries from North America who go and then start serving within North America?
No, I just mean there are a lot of people who are serving who are not from North America now in the world.
Oh, right.
A lot of people are reaching their own countries internationally, and a lot of missions agencies are talking about the importance of indigenous evangelism and things like that. So could that be a reason for the decrease in North American missionaries because there's not as much of a need for it anymore?
Yeah. I don't think so. The number of long-term missionaries coming out of the global south, so in Latin America, in Africa, in Asia, is huge. I mean, they're sending missionaries all over the world, to North America, to every place in the world. Their number of long-term workers is exploding. So, I mean, the impact for us is we often say short-term missions are necessary because it increases the number of long-term missionaries for us, and we're just not finding that. And so we need to correct that discrepancy. I don't think it's a result of increased long-term missionaries in their own country. Right back there.
As with all studies, you have to look beyond just one study. I went on a short-term mission. I'm a retired school teacher, 36 years. I hope to go again in Guatemala. And here's something that they're not addressing, and that is I am now willing to put more money in to support the nationals because I see what they're doing, and that's encouraging me to participate with them because they've got the language, et cetera. And I think what this missionary said from Japan is not brought into this thing. Right now, this is very discouraging so far. But what effect does it have on the people who are there to know that there are people who come down who are caring? What I'm hoping to do, I run a small, compared to Urbana, 16,000, a small women's conference, 100 women get together once a year, and I'm hoping to encourage those retirees, empty nesters, singles, to think about getting out of their comfort zone and going on short term so that they open the horizons of the possibilities of what's out there and see where the Lord leads. So, and I don't, some things cannot be quantified. Teaching school taught me that. They can see, they can give kids tests, but there's a lot of stuff I teach. It's not on any test, and you can hardly see that there is a change. But it's, you plant the seed, and it's like the coconut tree. It takes 2 years for that seed to germinate, unlike a radish seed. So I hope you have some positive things, because right now I don't want to get discouraged and I don't plan on it, but this doesn't help.
I love anecdotal stories. I love stories, this woman's story over here, of people who have been affected by short-term missions. I love your story about how it's been affected for you, or how short-term missions have affected for you. I do put a lot of weight in this. I do like the study. I find that, like you said, in his study, he talked about, anecdotally, people talked about lots of good changes in their life, but when he measured their giving, when he measured how much money they were giving before to how much money they were giving after, it hadn't changed, even though they'd said, short-term missions has increased my desire to give. It has increased my desire to pray more. Well, what he found was people weren't praying more. He asked if people were studying scripture more. And after the short-term mission, it said it increased their desire to study scripture more. When he measured it over a couple of years, people weren't reading scripture more. After their short-term mission, they talked about wanting to volunteer more, wanting to be more involved in reconstruction, in international issues. 2 or 3 years later, he found that people weren't actually involved more. So even though I love hearing anecdotal stories, and anecdotal stories do encourage and drive us, when we look at teams of people, whole groups, so in his case, it was 130 participants. He also looked at 13 other studies and the 44 other studies as well. So I do put weight in the mass of information he's collected more than just one or two anecdotal stories. A couple more, let's have two more comments over here. And then we'll continue. And let me just say, if you're discouraged, I'm not upset about that. Because if we don't do short-term missions effectively, we waste, like I said before, billions of dollars. We waste your time. I believe that we can actually hurt people's faith because we're not actually putting life changes that we're talking about, we're not leading them to life changes we're talking about. And so if you are upset about these numbers, or if you are upset about the negative tone of it, if it pushes you to lead effective short-term missions, I'm happy with that. Because I personally am not satisfied with the Christian community if we are not developing effective short-term missions, if we're spending billions of dollars annually, and if we are putting a huge environmental footprint and creating that and not doing effective short-term missions. So if you're discouraged, I'm fine with that because I want to push us more to figuring out, are the short-term missions we're doing, are they effective? And scrutinize it. Really be hard on yourselves. Is the mission you're putting your work into, is the money you're putting your work into, is it producing the kind of fruit that we want? And so, you know, part of me, I walk through the exhibit hall, and I don't know about you, but every booth says they're going to change my life. Every booth says they're going to change the world. Every booth says, you know, if you sign up here, everything will be different. Maybe, but, you know, sometimes it's just hype. Anyways, we'll continue, but I do, as we go on, I do talk about ways in which we actually can shape our short-term missions to be effective. So don't worry, it's not all doom and gloom, but I don't mind if it's doom and gloom if it makes our short-term missions better. Two more comments.
I think I agree with you in that it's quality, not quantity, so I can agree with the information so we have better short-term trips, but mm-hmm. I don't know if it should be information on whether or not we should go. Just to make it simple, like my father is not very good at baseball, but he taught me how to play, and he only knew how to throw it for one pitch, and he could have easily spent hundreds of dollars that he had to send me to a camp. He chose to spend time with me, and like, I wouldn't trade that for anything. So, I mean, you could easily write a check for $30,000 and build him a bunch of homes, but I don't think Jesus would have wrote a check. I think he would have went, and a lot of people can't afford to just leave their homes and go live amongst these people. But I think the short-term trips are great, not only for the people, but I became a Christian at one, so I would hope that people would still go.
And one more over here.
I'm a high school senior, so I've gone on different mission trips down to New Orleans. I've gone to Appalachian Mountains down in Tennessee. It was more of a sign up, pay the money, and you're on the list to go. So there wasn't really much of a application process. And I'm wondering for like the studies that he looked at, the study that he did on the different mission trips, what mm-hmm. the application process was, whether or not it was just a sign up and you're going down.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking right now for the next mission trip that we're going to be doing this summer is either to New Orleans again or to Brazil. And we're doing it, it's going to do a kind of like a cross generational. So we'll have some high school kids and some adults. And it's being limited to 25 people, and we're going through a rigorous application process.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like, I had introduced it to the youth groups, and we're fasting and praying on it. So I myself didn't really get anything out of the mission trips that we took and did prior to this, and I got most out of doing just a youth staff, youth missions with a program in my city where it was just youth that were on staff, and we did different, like, it was a 2 times a year conference kind of thing where we evangelized to different kids within the city. So
cool.
That's where I grew most, was staying in the city.
Thank you. I want to continue because I want to go through the content, but then time we have left over, I definitely want to continue our conversation. So he goes on to talk about life changes and the difficulty in making life changes. So, you know, one of the things he says is that exciting experience and good intentions often does not translate into lasting change. Have you ever made a New Year's resolution? And, you know, I wish we could do a survey. How many of you stuck with those New Year's resolutions, and how long did it last for? I mean, my guess, it didn't last too long. I remember I've always wanted to read a classic novel, one of Dostoevsky's books, like the big suckers. I went into chapters, I bought The Brothers Karamazov. I've heard so much about it. I've traveled to Russia, and I was in St. Petersburg. I was in some of the places he talked about, and I thought, I want to read The Brothers Karamazov because I want to learn about Russian lit and the incredible stories that Dostoevsky talked about. So I bought it. I put it beside my nightstand because every night before bed, I was going to read it. I made it to page 3, and that was about 4 years ago. So, you know, it's quite difficult to make change in your life. And so one of the things he talks about with, so let's say, generally speaking, when we take students or take anybody on a short-term mission, you know, our hope is that their commitment to things increase, that it affects their prayer life. They pray more for things they've seen. They study scripture more. They volunteer more. They are more involved in some of these issues. So let's use that as some of the examples of life changes that he talks about. And so he said that that life changes are difficult. And what he talks about, there's 3 key elements in making life changes. So when, let's say someone goes on a short-term mission trip and they do have an amazing experience. And that's what he's talking about. Like, he said that out of the studies he looked at, people that came back, they did genuinely have a very, very impacting experience. They learned so much about another culture. They learned a lot about often hardship. They learned a lot about themselves, but it didn't translate into something long-term. And I think that's where we need to focus making short-term missions effective. We don't want it just to be a good intentions, feel-good kind of experience. We want the money spent and the time spent to translate into long-term life changes. So, so like we said, making life changes is hard, but there are 3 elements that go into making life changes that can help it be long-term, be sustaining. He has an interesting analogy about a sapling. So a short little tree, a brand new tree that's been planted. And if you have a sapling, you can bend it over for a short period of time, a day or two, even a week. But when you let go, it goes back up to its original position. For to bend a sapling and for it to actually change, you actually have to keep it in that shape, bent over for a long period of time. And when we think of some of the changes we'd like to see in people who go on short-term missions, you actually need to make those changes for a long period of time. So accountability, encouragement, and shared experience. And I want to say a little bit about those things because I think it's key when you're planning a short-term mission. So I'm not, what makes it effective is everything you do after. When people return, the investment you make after. So let's say someone comes back and says, I want to pray more for the country I went to, I want to give more to the movement I worked with, and I want to study scripture more. Accountability means that that person should be in regular contact with their leaders, probably for a long period after, a year or two after, and find out how are you doing with your commitments to pray more, to be more involved, to give more. And that someone that they know someone is there that will be asking him about their process, their change, and encouragement. He talks about positive relationships that help encourage people to continue. So when you get discouraged, that someone is encouraging you in some of these changes, in some of these commitments you've made. And shared experience, I think, is really important, because if you go by yourself on any trip, any experience, and you come back and you're the only person who's experienced it, it's hard to communicate that to other people. It's hard to have someone to walk with you. And so I think, you know, agencies that pull in people from all over the country and then go somewhere and come back and then they all go off individually, they're going to have a really hard time going back, because when they go home, nobody knows the kind of experience they had. Nobody knows how impacting it was to meet the people from the other country. Nobody knows the difficulties that they experienced as a team. And it's really, really hard to communicate that. So agencies that pull people from all over the country and then they go back to their own cities, and it's a very individualistic kind of after thing, it's really hard to have long-term growth. So I think those agencies need to do some thinking about how to make the life changes continue. Again, he talks about goal setting. So if we look at the same things, that goals are more likely to be achieved if they're public, if they're specific, if they're attainable. And so if someone makes a goal to, I want to pray for this country, you know, for 10 minutes every day, that they tell people, they tell other team members, they tell their youth pastor, their mission leader, their friends, they're more likely to continue with that commitment if their goals are made public. And if it's specific, it's not just, the end goal, I want to be closer to God. And that's the goal we're looking for, but it's in some ways also vague. Like, what are the commitments you're gonna take on to help facilitate that? So they're more specific and they're attainable. You may have heard SMART goals. I'm not going to go over that a whole lot. I think this is the last slide, then we'll go into some questions. I want to talk briefly about on the side of the international partners. So in his study, he talked about on the receiving end, what makes for a long-term effective short-term mission. And so with this example in Honduras, they gave money to agencies that were effective and were not effective. And the agencies that had accountability to mutual goals, encouragement that worked well with the community, they saw loans paid back faster. They saw more relationship with the community. They saw more conversions with the community. Agencies that did not set goals with the community, that didn't have good relationships with the community, had problems. And so what he's saying is the quality of your overseas partner makes a massive difference in the long-term effectiveness of the project or the program. So I want to stop it there. Oh, so this is, a good quote he had. While the short-term mission trip is often a mountaintop experience for the participants, a few weeks or months later, their good intentions to raise money for world missions, work for social justice, or deepen their faith have not translated into action. If we hope to see these good intentions translated into accomplishments, something needs to change. What do you think needs to change? Anyways, I'd like to take some questions, comments. Let's talk further about this. I know that some of you may felt some discouragement or some doom and gloom around this presentation. But again, my hope is that actually, if you leave here upset, I'm not upset about that. I want missions we do to be effective. I want us to think well about how much long-term change we're producing. So let's see, over here.
Hi.
If we didn't cover anything, please feel free to ask and let's go over it.
I was just thinking about that, those numbers of 30,000 to 2,000 in terms of effectiveness. And I was thinking back to my mission trips. We went on a retreat at the end to visit the volcano. We went to a really gorgeous hotel, one of them. One of the churches went on a safari, and I'm just wondering if part of the cost could be cut out if we did our debriefings back here, and maybe not necessarily in exotic locations, because I'm thinking 30,000, yeah. And I remember how much I paid out, thinking, well, how much did that go maybe to me?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
I
mean, I would say that's somewhat immaterial. So to try to cut costs, I think it's just small slices you're taking off doing debrief in North America or where you are. I think you're just slicing off a little bit. So it's 30,000 versus 25,000. So I don't think it makes a material difference. Often at times when I've looked at budgets. So over here.
I'm not sure if you had anything else you wanted to say later on, or if that was kind of all you had for us, but...
Yeah, let's keep talking.
There's so much more to be said about short-term missions. I think one of the main, you know, what do you think needs to change? Let's focus on this specific question up here on the screen. The main thing is, I think, maybe two things, if I can just kind of spit that out there for some of you who kind of raised some questions earlier about maybe ministries you've done and that you just seem like it's not effective long-term. The first thing I think is... maybe some preview trips before you actually go on a trip to actually see what the needs are that people need. A lot of times we set up short-term mission trips and we're like, well, we have some people that can do maybe some backyard Bible studies, you know, and so we'll just go in there and do some backyard Bible studies and it'll be great, you know. But you never really invest in the community, see what their needs are. You know, maybe there are a lot of people with, need root canals and they need teeth pulled and things like that. So you can contact the dentist in your area and bring dentists just to pull teeth. And it's meeting, you know, the community's needs. And not necessarily setting up a trip for what you want to do, but setting up a trip for what they need. And I think that can be an effective way, and then continuing to send specific teams to a specific area to continue to meet specific needs is one way to kind of help with those short-term, making long-term goals and more effectively. Also, proper training before you leave. A lot of times we have people sign up for these trips, and they're like, okay, I'm going to sign up and get my airplane ticket and then I'm just going to go. You know, and they have no idea how to share the gospel. They have no idea how to do a sports ministry. They have no idea what it means to invest in community while other things are going on. And so proper training is key. And I've had a little bit of experience doing some things. And one thing that we always did was, you know, part of our orientation was just information. It was just, this is what you need to know because you're not from here. And here's some cultural differences that you may not understand. And so you have to get past those cultural differences. You have to be able to have that proper training in order to really truly be effective.
Awesome, thanks. So yeah, you brought a good point. The issue of short-term missions is huge. There is tons. Primarily what we're looking at today is the effectiveness of short-term missions on those who go. And so your comments about examining the needs of people we work with, I mean, that's a whole other huge seminar we could do. So the primary content of this topic that maybe you can shape your question around is those we take over, so those from our communities, those from our countries, wherever, what's the long-term impact on them? One of the things that I was thinking in terms of short-term missions is, so you talked about training, and I think absolutely training is a huge part, but I think the effectiveness of the short-term mission rises or falls on how much long-term follow-up we have with our people that go. And so training them is an important part, but often at times once people come back, there's not much follow-up that's done with them. And we talked about life changes, this whole thing about accountability, encouragement, shared experience. That's where a short-term mission goes from ineffective to effective. It's the back half where I think we've not done well at. One of the ideas I've had in terms of what needs to change, what if we advertised our short-term mission trips as come for a month and a 3-year discipleship program? So it is, you come, you know, the one month overseas is only a small part of it, but you actually are going to be involved in a 3-year investment mentoring in your life. And, you know, I think that will really change and weed out a lot of people, because a lot of people, I think, are looking for the 1 month short, quick fix, get me in, get me out. Oscar talked about this, is helicopter missions. And effective short-term missions, I think, rises or falls on the investment you put into the people afterwards. And I think that's where short-term agencies and leaders fall short, is once the trip is done, they're done, and they don't keep in contact as well as they could or need to with their team. Right here.
I don't know if this now is kind of blowing out the water, if it's a little off track, but I was also just wondering about the look at the long-term effects, not just on the participants with their personal daily life, but what those participants bring back to the campus. I mean, this is an university conference, and so is there any discussion about that and how, you know, maybe the short term wasn't as effective with this person now reads all the scripture, but you know, the campus is more aware about the mission in this developing nation.
Yeah, yeah. Again, it's the same thing. So, you know, have you ever been to a Christian conference where you made a commitment and you were going to do something different? You were going to make some kind of huge commitment and it didn't pan out. The energy and excitement waned. And that actually is a possibility at Urbana. Right now, it's easy to make commitments. It's easy to be excited about doing things. But so in your example, what kind of accountability do you have to the commitment after? What kind of support and encouragement do you have after? What kind of shared experience do you have after? So it's very similar. Like, so after Urbana, after a short-term mission, the long-term effectiveness, the criteria is the same. And so, like, you know, we had the commitment cards last night. Many of you made commitments, you know, so the question is, will you follow up with your commitments, right? And so you are more likely to follow up with your commitment if it's made public, if you share it with people, if you have people to keep you accountable to those commitments, if you have people encouraging you in those commitments, supporting you in a genuine way, in a caring way, and you're more likely to follow through with the commitment if you've had a close friend here at Urbana share Urbana with you. And so, you know, this short-term mission thing, the long-term effectiveness goes for Christian conferences, overseas mission, lots of things. Where's the mic?
Right here.
Yeah. Where? There.
I think a lot of stuff that was shown in the study and what you've been saying is really valid. I think probably most people here can relate to an experience of a mountaintop high spiritual experience, which I think occurs from a lot of things like these conferences and short-term mission trips. Not to say that they don't have any benefit at all.
Absolutely, absolutely.
But, like, reality is that, like, a lot of us will go back home after this and, like, we'll try to keep our commitments and it will last for a month. But as long if we don't have support around us, it's not going to happen.
Yeah. And let me, I want you to continue, let me just say, short-term missions, I believe, are good. I'm the missions director for University of Canada. I set up missions, I lead mission trips, so I'm totally pro short-term missions. I'm pro Urbana, like I work for university, right? So I think these things are great, like commitments are made. If we didn't have them, we wouldn't have commitments made. But what, for me, it's like, commitments are made, but how long do they follow through? Like, there's so much that fades after, and there's so much that we just forget and wane. And for me, if you make a commitment and it doesn't last through, well then, we've only done half the work. Continue, please.
And also, I guess this could be somewhat debated, but I think that from what I've learned a lot from short-term missions is, as good of this experience is for us maybe that are going to experience a new culture and see if really need help. I think a lot of times we have a tendency to ignore the people that need help like in our own cities and right around us, where short-term missions can help a lot more because you can build relationships and build connections with people right there. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Awesome. Thank you. Thanks. Right down here.
Hello. Yeah. I just want to elaborate on a previous idea being made. I think what needs to be changed is the scope and possibly the focus of our mission. I think the research was not comprehensive. There certainly is some ineffectiveness in short-term missions, but the problem of the reduced number of long-term missionaries, I believe, in my opinion, is that right here in North America, we Christians, the world has too much of influence on us than we have on the world. The world's changing us, the culture's changing us faster than we change the culture. And there's not enough attention on this field of mission that's needed right here, right where we are, Like, we don't even have to look far. We can look right now, right here at Urbana, right at the mountain peak where we have a spiritual hype. Like, I've witnessed people, like a lot of close friends, they're great Christians. They have this passion for God. I know it's in them. But again, at the very day, we have to think about yesterday at dinner. How many bottles, like their own water, they haven't even been touched, they're too dirty bowl. And the people leave the dinner without like satisfaction. They feel like...
So, okay, I'm just having trouble figuring out what your question or comment is.
My comment is that we're not focusing enough on our, like, the lack of spirituality here.
Okay.
I think the problem, even at various places like Urbana, there are people, like, they think they want to do this, they want to do that, but instead, like, last day, specific example, after they finish the dinner, they just gone back work, even they just dish the dinner, they gone back to eat more. Like, they don't want to lay their life down to the point where God wants them to go.
Okay, that's great. You're saying lots of things there, and so I'd like to go on to the next comment, please. Thank you.
I was just wondering if IDP...
Yes.
IDP offers any resources in equipping people that are going to be going, such as, like, journals, something that can be done before, during, and after.
Yeah.
Maybe that is a good change. Are there any resources that are out there?
IVP has tons of great resources on short-term missions, and so... I imagine that maybe some were coming here to the seminar looking for the more how-tos in the particulars of a short-term mission, and IVP has tons of great resources, and so the challenge for me was what to focus on, and for me, I really wanted to paint a picture that most of the short-term missions coming out of North America are not effective, and I wanted to tackle that issue, but IVP has fantastic resources. I forget that, like, the dozens of titles. Look in their mission section. There are probably some in the bookstore now.
Great. And is that something that you use with your groups in sending them out?
I do. I often reference those books and use different elements in terms of the program. Yeah.
Just a question back there.
Yep, back there.
First of all, I just want to say I have no idea there were studies out there on mission trips, so I'm really interested. Is Verbeek study something that you can find online?
Yep, you can find it online. Take his name down, Google it, and you should find it pretty easily.
And also,
One thing as well that I didn't mention the study, I obviously can only give a synopsis of it. He outlines the other studies he has looked at in his paper, so it will also lead you to numerous other studies as well. So it's a great resource to look up.
Great. Another thing I wanted to say, I totally agree with whoever commented on not necessarily partnering up, like, us being so focused on, like, these overseas missions and not necessarily doing, like, kind of follow-up stuff that, like, within our local communities.
Yeah.
I think that could be, like, a really great resource.
Yeah.
Like, as kind of a follow-up thing from your shared experience. One thing that my church has modeled for me has been this, we partner with a community in Tijuana, Mexico, and we've partnered with them for, like, the last 8 years, and so we do short-term missions trips there, and so for us, I mean, it's not a perfect model at all, but it's for me, it's been something that's been really neat in terms of changing the culture of our church to really think about this community constantly, because so many of us have this shared experience.
Awesome. That's fantastic. Yes?
I guess it's kind of similar to what she just said and what some people are saying. I also work for a church. And one thing I'm really trying for, just pushing with my pastors, is to kind of implement that local. We have a local outreach, but just, like, incorporate that even before the missions trip. Have them kind of practice their mission, and part of, like, their team building is to go do something locally.
Yeah.
And whether it's someone they know or something they can do through the church, and then when they get back, since they have all that hype, it's, you know, to say, okay, you're excited about missions. Now here is what you can do.
Yeah.
So, you know, we want to give them resources. You know, get connected with this ministry that's going to help you pray for these people. Get connected with this local outreach, so it provides an outlet to use all that momentum and to use all that excitement, so that it will continue and not, you know, just vanish.
Absolutely, and that I think is the way short-term missions can be made effective. You will see those people long-term afterwards, and so what happens then is it the longer you're connected with them, the longer you invest in them from that short-term mission, the more, I think, positive impact it's going to have. So, you know, if you have this short-term experience, and if you connect with them over years after, it'll have a more of a positive impact. So this goes for any short-term experience, conference, whether you go overseas, whether you stay within your country or your state or province. It's the follow-up after, it's the investment after that separates effective and non-effective. Back there?
Just a couple of things.
I have not read.
It's a really good book. It's pretty much thesis is that we should. The second thing is just a question. So
hold the mic closer to your mouth.
It's a very 21st century idea that we need disciplines to have their lives changed. So this happens where people are encouraged to think about mission.
Not following entirely.
Do we know any other way of encouraging people to think about mission? Yeah, other than short-term
mission. Oh, well, I mean, it's hard to replicate an experience of going to another culture and meeting people face-to-face, so I don't have any great answers of any alternatives. Traveling to a country, and there's nothing like a handshake and a hug, and being in a different location, eating different food, that is motivating. So, sorry, I don't have a satisfying answer. I want to take just maybe one or two more comments. I'm going to have a wrap up, and then if anyone wants to stay after, I'm happy to stick around and talk. So maybe just two more comments.
I know that you said that for to have life changes, that you need accountability and also to share experience.
Yeah.
And in my class, I'm going to camp or having a back to my family, and even though I come from a Christian family,
I think to have somebody who understands what you've been through, whether it be a close friend, a family member, a sibling, but somebody who was there at the aha of the, you know, the new learnings, something that was so impacting for you, somebody who experienced it as well, that you can share with, that absolutely understands what you have been through and what has shaped you. So, I mean, whether it's your immediate family or a close friend, but the more people who have shared the experience with you, the more likely it is that impact will be sustained in your life for a longer period. One more comment.
Hi.
Over here, yes.
Hi.
Is
that better? Okay, good. One thing I just realized is with short-term missions, it's really important to embrace the tension of both being effective yourself as a short-term missionary, but then also serving a long-term team. I've been on a couple trips to Thailand and just realized the importance of serving alongside a long-term team and serving with them and knowing that, yes, I may have an impact on some people there, and that's awesome, right? Mm-hmm. But also realizing that ultimately I'm there to help a long-term team continue to open doors for them
for
and
sure.
Establish them, and then go back and be changed and carry that with me.
Yeah, absolutely. That's fantastic. I mean, I wish I had another seminar to talk about our relationships with long-term partners, because that's hugely significant. So I guess what I want to say is, if you are leading a short-term mission or going on a short-term mission this summer, in terms of whether you think the trip will be effective or not, I want you to look at how much follow-up is put in to your planning of the short-term mission. So, you know, there's training that will happen, and we have lots of information that you put lots of effort into the program while you're overseas, but how much effort is put into the follow-up after? How much effort is put into being in touch with the team after, communicating, what are your commitments? You know, how will we encourage you 3 months after the trip, 6 months after, 12 months after, 2 years after the trip? And so, I mean, if you're signing up for a short-term mission, ask them what kind of follow-up do you do afterwards, and how long do you follow up for? And I think you'll get a good sense of the kind of long-term support and help and discipleship you'll have from that organization. I think that's a really, really critical way to evaluate it. If you're leading a short-term mission trip, you're from your church or your agency, ask yourself, how much do I follow up with the people I take overseas? Do I take them overseas, and then once they come back, great, now go live out your commitment, see you later. Or are you committed to speaking into their life and drawing out the lessons they've learned for a year or two after? Because I think that's what it's going to take to turn these short-term mission trips from being ineffective to being effective. That's all I got to say. Thank you so much for coming. I really appreciate it. I just want to say thank you again. Thank you so much for coming. Really appreciate you coming here. I hope you've had an amazing time at Urbana. I think Urbana is awesome. And I do hope the commitments you make have impacted your life and will impact your life for your whole life afterwards.